So it may feel a little bit odd today, not just because of the time change, but for those of you who were switched on to what we do in our evening services here, last week at Evensong, we celebrated the Eve of All Saints, which is appropriate. I mean, it was All Hallows Eve, and most of the children I know were eating their body weight in candy by the end of the evening. And here we are a week later, doing the Feast of All Saints. And later on today, All Souls, the commemoration of the faithful departed, transferred from Monday and Tuesday, respectively, because it's not like the liturgical calendar is confusing enough. It feels a bit odd to me, because I've already preached on All Saints once this year, at last week's evening service. And if you've not had the chance to see last week's evening service online, I recommend, not the sermon, but recommend going to the service and hearing the beautiful music that our choir put together for last week. Having preached on it already, I thought I might be at a loss for words, but that it may come as no surprise to you, that during the week, a lot of new content seemed to appear, not least due to the Sermon Circle discussion on Wednesday and a couple of other discussions I've had during the week. They all seem to have added an extra dimension to All Saints for me this year. I mentioned on Sunday evening last week that I have mixed feelings about this festival. It being one of my favorite festivals and one I'm deeply wary of at the same time. For the reasons I love this festival, you'll have to go and watch Sunday's video. This is my wary sermon, and I'll try not to make it too ranty. I'm wary of the way in which All Saints is sometimes used within parts of the church tradition, seemingly to exalt certain individuals with the honorific saint to a separate kind of superior place. They are often, it seems, held up to reflect and a kind of spiritual attainment that we're not going to reach, but we can at least aim at. I don't think that's really the heart of the festival, but it's a reason for my own sense of unease in the way that we mark this day. But it goes hand in hand now, you'll be glad to know, with a new unease. We've set up All Saints and All Souls as neighboring feasts within the tradition of the church, and I think we get the two muddled. We start thinking of disembodied, ghost-like figures floating round, being all sainty in some kind of Google cloud somewhere in heaven or wherever. And when we start talking, as our very opening verse of the Deuterocanonical Book of Wisdom, the one that we heard today, when we hear the souls of the righteous are in the hands of God, that can somehow create a picture of separation from this world after death to a place where all is paradise. It sets us up for elevating heaven to the beyond, a place outside, a distinct place from this troubled earth. The Book of Wisdom was probably written about 50 years before Jesus in the city of Alexandria by a Greek-speaking member of the synagogue. It was written to those who were being persecuted, who were suffering because of their faith, both by the forces of empire and other break-off factions within the Jewish tradition. As such, we can see that those words that we heard from the Book of Wisdom today are meant to offer comfort, reassurance. Those who heard them originally would be encouraged to stay faithful, keep their faith and practice in times of suffering. But it is not about holding out for a disembodied post-mortem reward. It is about staying faithful in the here and now, doing and being that which is right, no matter what the circumstances. The danger of our Western dualistic mindset, so influenced by Greek and Roman philosophy, is that we find ourselves separating soul and body, separating the reality of the here and now for something that we often refer to as pie in the sky when you die. Yet the message of our Hebrew forebears in faith, and the message that is at the heart of incarnation, at the heart of the gospel, at the heart of our Christian scriptures, is a deeply embodied faith, not a disembodied one. I was speaking earlier this week to the activist theologian Dr. Robin Henderson Spinoza, Robin is soon to publish a book about the divine giftedness of human bodies and is collaborating with a Vancouver-based psychiatrist and theologian to bring some exploration of those themes here to Vancouver Island, hopefully sometime in the spring. The need to celebrate and live embodied faith in our everyday Christian lives. Our Western soul and body binary has caused us to lose that sense of beings whose primary identity, who we are, is embodied. We cannot know ourselves apart from our bodies. This dualistic mindset has caused us to create this purity culture where anything to do with bodies, particularly to do with gender and sexual identity, is considered dirty, taboo, something not really to be celebrated, more often to be condemned. It's caused too many people to think in terms of themselves as essentially bad because bodies lead to sin, and to try and keep their souls unstained through observing a detached and otherworldly religion. It has allowed the forces of religion and empire to keep the masses controlled, pun intended, keeping people happy with their downtrodden lot, as it will all be sorted out beyond the veil. It has kept institutions powerful and domineering. It is dangerous and it's destructive, and it's not Christian faith, but the religion of empire. So that's why I'm wary of how these festivals are used and how they get confused with one another. The All Saints and All Souls muddle. But here is the good news. None of this is irredeemable. Here in our community, we have been on this road of celebrating and affirming sexual expression and gender nonconformity for many years. We don't always get it right. But at heart, we are seeking to do what we can, to learn what we can, and to love in any way we can. Also, within St. John's, we have and continue to be working on what it means to be embodied people of faith, putting our faith in action, living the values that we hold, seeking justice and equity. As Mohammed, a young Muslim man who was part of our community for a little while and sat just over there on Sundays, said to me after one Sunday service, "You people are doing it righteous in the moment." Love that phrase. Now that embodied faith we celebrate. But we have more to do to work and live out. As we celebrate these saints who are not above us, but who are with us, alongside us, within us, we celebrate the saints who stay in our hearts, our memories, our stories, our music, our traditions, and in our genes. The saints who are held up as examples throughout the ages and who we remember at this festival are not elevated, separated, distinct, or disembodied. On the contrary, we celebrate their embodiment of faith, their lived faithfulness, their struggles, their love, their compassion. We celebrate them as part of our community here and now in this strange mashup of life and death we call the communion of the saints. This dynamic, active community that exists to make us spiritually earthed and not abstract. Perhaps the greatest calling of all saints is to pay attention to embodying our faith. In word, in prayer, in community, in justice, in action. We hold that this saint business is not just an after-death thing. The way of embodiment may involve death, but not in the ways we might expect. It will involve the death of attitudes that divide us. It will involve the death of self-interest at the expense of others. It will involve the death of individualism and a new way of being in which all people have a place and are affirmed in that place. All are welcomed. None are considered less than anyone else. Through this death comes new life. In this there will be resurrection, not of the individual, but of all the people. New life. As we have that story, that death and resurrection of Lazarus in our gospel story, the moving story of Jesus' friend, a story which is a metaphor for new life, to which all are invited as Jesus calls forth Lazarus from the grave to live in time, to live embodied faith. In this poetic, metaphorical, transfixing story, we are given a parable of the life of the Spirit. A life which goes down to the grave, which has to let go of everything that binds us, and which hears the voice of the divine to take us out into a new revelation, a new way of being and of living. In what ways are we, like Lazarus, being called into new life? What has to die in order that we can live? Are there attitudes, practices, ways of thinking and doing that need to die in our community? On this All Saints Day, we recognize, as I said last week, that our calling to sainthood is a privilege and a responsibility. It is a gift and a task. We are invited to be saints in all we do and all we are. We are called to follow the way of faithfulness and justice and love and affirmation. We are called to follow Christ, as so many have been through the ages, to take up our cross, like so many before us, to be those who know Christ and who make Christ known. Happy All Saints Day.